The first reading is a reading from Genesis. The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son, whom Sarah bore him. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Sarah said, "God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me." And she said, "Who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is the gospel of the Lord. Dear sisters and brothers, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, we're going through this series on the fruit of the Spirit. All those things that God wants to create in us. And today I want to ask you a question. Who here wants to be happier? Anyone? All right, good. Is there anyone here who is so happy already they just couldn't get any happier? I can see a couple hands go up. All right, good, all right. Well, happiness, and you'll notice I'm talking about happiness here, not joy yet. Happiness is sort of a secular religion for us Americans. The Declaration of Independence enshrines for us life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. A recent popular song invites you to clap along if you know that happiness is the truth. Happiness is the truth? Well, happiness is a big deal. But if you're looking for how to be happier, I'm sorry, you can just check out now until the baptism, because this sermon will disappoint you. Somebody out there is thinking, and this week is different from any other week. How? Yeah. Now, there's nothing wrong with happiness. But the problem is, happiness is so elusive. I mean, we know advertisers will sell us all sorts of things that'll make you happy until the next model comes out. And then you got to have that. Nowadays, it seems like it has become okay for us to abandon a marriage if it's just not making me happy anymore. And even when we say noble-sounding things like, "Well, I'm happy when my family is happy." Well, that sounds good, but what happens when our family isn't happy in the way we want them to be happy? Yeah. See, here's the risk. The pursuit of happiness can be like salt water. What I mean by that? Well, you know, you're lost out in the ocean in a boat. No fresh water. And you can be tempted to drink from the sea. But you know, that'll kill you. The salt in the water will just dehydrate you more and more, making you thirstier and thirstier. Dedicating ourselves to the pursuit of happiness can do that to your soul. You keep chasing it, but it only makes you want and need more and more until your soul becomes sick. See, happiness is fine and good, but happiness as a goal of human life is too small. It's not what we were made for. We were made for something bigger. And the good news is there is spiritual fresh water. Something so much bigger and better than happiness. And that fresh water is joy. See, joy isn't just happiness with the volume turned up. No, joy is a completely different animal. Happiness is about what has happened to us, what is happening to us, or what might happen to us. Joy comes from the impossible or the improbable. Now, to unpack that a little, I want to point to the classic biblical story of joy. And it's right there in our first reading from Genesis, the birth of Isaac. Now, the very name Isaac means laughter. And here, Sarah laughs with joy. She had been barren her whole life, and now she is way beyond childbearing years. But now she holds in her arms this impossible miracle baby. Who would have ever thought it? Who would have ever said it, she says. How can it be? But here it is. That's joy. See, joy has seen pain and loss. But then it's also seen them overcome in amazing and unexpected ways. To sort of draw a distinction, hearing your favorite song can make you happy. But when a deaf child gets a cochlear implant and hears their mother's voice for the first time, that's joy. See the difference? So here's the question. If pursuing happiness is too small a goal for us, but if joy requires things that are beyond our power, how do we find it? How do we find joy? In a world that will so often give us reasons for sadness and frustration, how can we chase or choose joy? Well, the truth is, we can't. But that's not bad news. Remember, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And that means our focus shouldn't be on us, not on what we do, but on the Holy Spirit. See, true joy is always the result not of what we accomplish, not of what we do, not even of what happens to us. True joy comes from what God does. Thank you. Now, we can't create joy. We can give amens.
Amen.
Thank you. Make the pastor happy. That's not joy. That's not joy. We can't create it. God can. Now look at these two stories from Luke chapter 15. Jesus tells those parables. Why? Because the good religious people were not happy. But according to Jesus, God is more than happy. God is filled with joy. Now, do you notice in these two stories what delights God? What makes him overflow with joy? I mean, this should be a big deal. What makes God joyful? When lost people get found. When everyday sinners like us get connected with his Son. God laughs with undying pleasure when messed up, broken, confused people, again, just like us, get connected and turned around and put back together by Jesus.
Yes, he does.
God does not get happy when self-proclaimed stuffy saints do all sorts of things to impress him. God doesn't care about that. God gets joyful when all of his children, and I mean all of them, are receiving his love. See, the religious types and the Pharisees and the scribes, if we put that in modern day language, that's the churchgoers. They were mad. Why were they mad? Because Jesus was hanging out with sinners, with people who didn't come to church. And so Jesus tells this story to say, hey, it's not just that God wants sinners around. He actually goes out looking for them. God goes out recruiting them. God recruits sinners. And guess what? We all qualify. God's looking for the strayed sheep, the hiding coins. God's looking for the people who have made a mess of things. He seeks out the hard-hearted, the broken, the rebellious. Now, don't you think that's good news this morning?
Yes, it is.
Is it not an impossible victory? We human beings, and let's be honest, we human beings who can't get ourselves together still get rescued from the way of death by the very God that we've been walking away from. Once you start to get that, that'll make you laugh. Who could believe? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. That little one gets it. Who could believe it? The God of the universe loves sinners? Who could believe it? But then in walks Jesus like a good shepherd to pick you up and carry you home. And then he throws a party. Rejoice with me. Come celebrate. I have found what was lost. See, Jesus is the God who throws all the best parties. All types are welcome. The good and the bad, the put together, the messed up, that's grace. All are welcome. And these parties celebrate the impossible. God has done what none of us could ever accomplish on our own. Fallen people get redeemed. Sinners get saved. The dead receive new life. So if you're looking for joy, if the pursuit of happiness has left you disappointed, if you want something greater and bigger and deeper, if you're looking for joy, then look to the impossibly good news that no matter how far you have fallen, no matter how battered and bruised you may be, no matter how long or fast you have been running away, Jesus is salvation even for you.
Amen.
See, that's where joy is found. Joy is found in being a claimed and beloved child of God. In having the promise that all your past mistakes cannot define you. And that someday, not even death itself will be able to contain you. Joy comes in the miraculous, laughter-filled birth of new life when all of our hope has been lost. Our joy can come from the amazing promise that in his death on the cross, Jesus took away the sin of the whole world. And in his resurrection, he came back to start healing and redeeming and restoring, not just us, but all of creation. And nothing can stop his kingdom from coming. So if you want to find joy, look to the God who throws the best parties. Now, there's one being celebrated this morning. Oh, there will be joy in heaven this day and on earth as little Willow is welcomed into the body of Christ. Every Sunday, we get a foretaste of that feast at the Lord's table when our sins are forgiven and we are brought together, united in Jesus. Joy comes when you know that neither life's worst curveballs nor your own worst mistakes can ever change the fact that you belong to Jesus. And he has won the victory over sin and death for you. So, again, I'll say it. I'm not knocking happiness. We all want to be happy. That's good. But don't get caught up in the pursuit of things that are so much smaller than what you were made for. Don't settle for the salt water. Drink deep from the grace of God, and you will be filled with joy. And as your eyes get opened up to just how good this celebration is, then go. Don't keep it to yourself. Tell your friends and your neighbors, come and celebrate with me, because I was lost. But I've been found. Let Jesus reach out to them through you. And the party will grow. The laughter will expand. That's how God works. He makes joy contagious so that everything unhappy can be undone for you and for the world. Jesus brings you to the party. Now, let the joy begin. Amen.